Thank you so much for buying my CDs. I really appreciate that. It helps me to put my sons, Zangbar and Rudy, through college. You know how expensive it is to raise two boys alone. But I don't really know who the fathers are. I keep thinking they'll show up at one of the gigs and want to pay me back the child support. But no, it's been fruitless. But of course, I'm very proud of Zangbar and Rudy. Rudy and Zangbar. When we came from the old country, we were never expecting to be treated like this so nice. You've been so good. I said, my boys, they play music and we go trapsing around from place to place with our little musical adventure to, you know, keep them in. Now they're in long pants. To keep them in their long pants, because long pants are a lot more expensive than the little shorts. I kept them in until they were both about 36. This is, you think about where we come from, the old country, a little village, deep, deep, deep in the woods, in a country called Vingingustin. And we have, it's so difficult, the language, to learn that no one can speak it. After time, you can't, all you have left is this horrible accent. Because nobody can remember, actually, the language itself, just the accent. So anyway, thank you, though. That's very appreciate you buying the CDs. I just showed this song to the guys. It's called Moonlight, and I was going over that. You know, that you would think about the history of your life, and you go over and you think of who was on the mountain peaks for you, and who was down in the valley. You know, and when I was a young woman traveling through Europe in the 70s, late 60s and the 70s, I met Robert Graves. And some of you know who he is, some of you don't, but he is a poet and a mythologist and a great scholar and a classical scholar. And really, he wrote I, Claudius, some people remember that from the PBS series. And he's just a really remarkable man. And I was 22 and he was 77. We met on the island of Mallorca, and I was actually being introduced to him as his birthday present. A friend of his named Ralph Jacobs had heard me singing in Palma and said, oh, you're my gift for Robert. He's going to be 77, and you're going to be my birthday gift. You're going to play for him. And actually, Robert and I met a little before and had this instant rapport. I just adored him. People think, oh, he was, you know, no, he was not a boyfriend. Ugh, Christ. But of course, me and Mr. Baby, I mean, what the heck? But we talked about that earlier, but Robert was, I guess, 77 when we met, and I was 22, as I say, but he was just so wonderful. He was a wonderful man, and his, he was a great poet, and on being very supportive and loving towards a young poet coming in, me. And so I was thinking about him recently. Robert had a way of, he's a very powerful guy. He was big and gnarly, looked like an old olive tree. And we'd walk down to the village together, and he had such a mythic way of looking at everything and how you fit in. And I remember one day he said, well, today, he said, you shall be the moon. You shall embody all that is greatly feminine, the goddess. You should wear silver. You should be the moon. And I shall be the great masculine. I shall represent all that is male. I shall be the sun, and I shall wear gold. You know, and we're going to the market. You know, again. Okay, you know, it's like his wife has sent us out to get, you know, bread. So he was so great. He was so dear. And he wrote to me for years. We wrote to each other before that he became so too old. But I have a little stack of letters from him, which, you know, if I don't sell more CDs, I'm going to hawk. I'm sure that I will. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind. He'd want me to be happy in my old age. Anyway, no, I would never dream of it. But I was with a friend recently, and we went through his letters to me, and I hadn't read them in years, you know. And they were so wonderful and so great. And he was really a great teacher and friend. So I wrote this little song for him. And so I just thought I'd start the set with this. It's called Moonlight. Heard that just today. This is a beautiful job. I know. This next song I wrote for a friend of mine in Italy. You were at the wedding too, weren't you, John? My friend Richard, one of my oldest friends, we've known each other since we were 11. He actually took, we took, my only music lessons I took with Richard when I was 12 at a Walmer's guitar, Walmer's music store in Burlingame. And I took 4 lessons with Richard. Now he lives in Italy and he teaches architectural history or something in Italy. And he's just my oldest, one of my oldest, dearest friends. And my friend John here knows him. Anyway, years ago, he was going to get married in Italy. What the hell? So I had to get to Italy. Jesus. Can you get, like, you know, like, go to Corte Madera? No. I got to go to, you know, Florence. So I get all the way over there, you know, for the wedding. And then I don't really have anything left over for a wedding gift, so I thought, well, I write him a song. So right there, I wrote this song, the night before the wedding. It's called River of Life. At the time, I was going through my midlife crisis. I had a rough period in my life. I started from about 12 years old to recently. But I was having my midlife crisis, and Richard was getting married. So he said, well, you have to write about what you know. And so what I knew was my midlife crisis and my friends getting married. So I put the two things together and made this little song. And I'm afraid that, you know, it was a little scary. The lyrics were a little scary at first because it was my midlife crisis. But it all worked out. So the first line was a little bit disconcerting for the wedding guests, but thank God nobody, there was only like 3 of us who spoke English, so it was all right. Do you remember this? Do you remember ever hearing this? Sort of. I think, yeah. Do you want to see my hands while we do it?
It's a nice hand.
All right, because I think I'm in the key of something.
That's good.
What am I in?
D.
D, I'm in D.
Okay.
Why was I born? What am I to do? Where am I going next? Who the hell are you? Who knows what sweet thing it is that turns the world now? Life, the river of life. All I see is the river of life, the river of life. I had a sweet romantic love, the kind I always wished I would. But we all know romantic love does no one any good. I prefer a love like ours, the kind that skins its knees. Now all I see is the river of life, the river of life. All I see is the river of life, the river of life. Queen of heaven once, she was dancing in the sky. She leaned down to whisper in our ears, no one ever dies. Because the love you've brought to earth has set the whole world free. Now all I next song is called The Very Last One. I was in, years ago, I was in the Beach Blanket Babylon. You've all been at, yeah, I was in that job. I was, but let me explain. It was around, it was in the early 80s. And you, is everybody here from San Francisco? You lived here for a while, obviously. Do you remember back in the 80s? Remember early, late 70s, early 80s? One weekend where everybody came out of the closet. Do you remember that weekend? I mean, do you remember the Castro? Do you remember? It was like everybody just came flying out of the closet at once. Do you remember that? It was just fantastic. It was wonderful that everybody came out, but it was all at once, and it was everybody. I mean, it was like overnight, the whole town was like completely gay, which was wonderful, except for a couple of people here and there who weren't gay, who felt very, very out of it as a result. And that was me. And it was just, at the time, it just seemed like everybody, the whole city was gay. It was wonderful, very nice. Everybody, but young people would get their courage screwed up to go tell their parents and say, "Mom, Dad, I'm gay." And the mother would say, "Oh, that's lovely, so are we. Now the whole family, now we're all gay." So it was a wonderful thing. But you know, I felt a little out of it. And then I was working at Beach Blanket Babylon, and of course, I was not gonna meet anybody in the cast at Beach Blanket Babylon. Let me tell you right now, the boys were wonderful. They were very handsome. Of course, they liked each other. So I was not meeting anybody at work. I went to my piano player friend at the time, who was gay and thrilled with everything. And I said, "I'm lonely." He said, "Well, write a song about it." And so I did. It's called The Very Last One. And and it was written years ago. But it could still apply easily. I don't know if you know this one. I don't know if you've ever heard this.
Yeah.
You have, okay. All right, well then here you go. So I have to try and remember it because I wrote it so long ago. Actually, when I went for the job for Beach Blanket Babylon, I had to audition like 30 times. Because what Steve Silver used to do is he'd audition, everybody would show up in the world for the gig, whatever. And then he would audition, and that's where he got all of his ideas, because people would come in with these ideas and And then he'd milk it for all it was worth, you know. And so I had 30 callbacks. It was killing me, you know. I started out with like 300 people, and then and I got the job. Nobody could believe it. I couldn't believe it. No, but I finally got the job, and then I had to learn how to tap dance. And at the time, I was just getting sober, so you can imagine what it was like trying to detox and learn how to tap dance at the same time. It was completely overwhelming. You know, just sweating bullets, trying to go like this. And as a matter of fact, I was so bad with the tap dancing that they took the taps off my shoes and had me dance in blanks because I was throwing everybody off. So it just said, keep, you know, wave your arms and smile, you know. And I was supposed to be Queen Elizabeth. Oh, Snow, one day your prince will come. So I was talking like that. And then, you know, 6 weeks of rehearsal and tap dancing and sweating and dear prince will come and talk like this, and I really loved it, and I couldn't wait to go on. And then it was time to put the hat on me, the huge hat. And now this was this huge hat, and at the time, you know, you just had to support it with your own little back, and it had Big Ben on it and double decker bus going on the side, you know, and it had wind, you know, the whole thing was on the top of the hat, 60 pounds of diffuse weight. And they put it on me. The woman who had been Queen Elizabeth before me, Kate Kiley, was like 6 feet tall. She's a big girl. I mean, she could have like looked like a linebacker. And she could do it, you know, but they put it on me. And I just completely, this is like a week before I'm supposed to go on, or 3 days, my back cracked. We could hear it. And I went like this. And I looked like the letter Z. They sent me to I went out like this. I said, "I can do it. I know I can do it." And they sent me to the chiropractor. And he said, "You can't, you know, she can't wear the hat." So Steve Silver fired me. He fired me. So I'm telling you this story, but so I'm going home, and now this is weeks and weeks of auditioning, then weeks and weeks of detoxing and tap dancing, and talking like this all the time. And And I'm fired, you know, and all of a sudden I'm walking by Gino and Carlos in North Beach, and I see this glass of scotch coming out of the thing, and it has my name on it, you know, the condensation on the glass with the ice melting. I say, Teresa, this scotch is for you. And it's coming out of Gino and Carlos, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm serious about this. I said, I'm going to have it, but I'm going to do the one thing that they tell you to do. You make one phone call first before. So I thought, I'm going to get so drunk, and then I'm going to go kill that guy. And then, you know, and then I'll feel better. But first I'll make this phone call that they tell you to make. You have to make the phone call, see? Because I was getting sober at the time. So I called this one guy, old Frank. Frank was my sponsor. And he said, what's up? I said, I really have to drink. I'm going to drink, and then I'm going to get drunk. Then I'm going to go kill Steve Silver. I just thought I'd make a phone call first to let you know. So he said, oh, what's going on? I told him what happened. He said, okay. He said, look at it. He said, you can kill him. You get drunk, you can kill him. That's nice. You could go to jail for that. He said, why don't you instead, you know, call him up and say, Steve, this is Teresa Tadore. I understand that you're a businessman and this and that, you know, and if I could be, I mean, I understand, and if I could be of service to you in the future, please let me know. And I said, no. No, that's not what I had in mind. I had in mind hiring a nice big Samoan person with a baseball bat to take care of his, you know, his limp and give him another one. And he said, no. He said, you know, try it. Well, he said, you can do that. He said, but why don't you try, say, Mr. So and then call me back. I said, okay. So I hung up the phone. I called Steve Silver. I said, Steve, this is Tristory. I said, I understand you're a business person. I understand that the hats are a big deal and you need someone who can wear them. And so, no problem. If you ever can use me in the future, please let me know if I could be of service to you in any way. There's this silence, and he said, oh, screw it. Come back, I'll rewrite the show. I know, it's like amazing. So I called Frank, I said, Mr. Wizard? But that was like 27 years ago, and I have been sober ever since. Through a lot worse than that. That was just an amazing thing. And so what they did was they rewrote the show. Instead of Beach Blanket Babylon Goes to London, woo, new. It was Beach Blanket Babylon Goes to Broadway, and I became the biggest broad on Broadway. And instead of giving me a big hat, they gave me a little, you know, like a little crown, like what do you call it, like the Statue of Liberty, little crown. But they built me out. They gave me two enormous red apples for breasts. You know, it's like the big, remember these call it in New York the Big Apple? Oh, yeah. So I had two giant red apples for breasts and a little hat. And I learned a lot about big red apples because I would come in for rehearsal just early, you know. And the stage guy, John Comignani, was the backstage guy. John and Fred would be there. And I'd come in and they go, hi, Teresa, hurry up. You got 10 minutes to get on stage. You know, get up. And hi, John, hi, Fred, hi, Teresa. And then I'd come out, you know, in my big red apples. And John and Fred would be looking at me like this. You know, completely. I go, John, Fred, it's me. It's Teresa. Anyway. Your eyes on the big red apples, for Christ's sake. But you learn as you go. All right, so this song is called The Very Last One. You remember what this all led up to, don't you? Yeah, okay. And The Very Last One, and so it was at this time that everybody came out of the closet, and, you know, I'm in Beach Blanket, and I'm not going to get any hope of ever getting laid again, as far as I can tell. So I wrote this song. Bo do do dee 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 dee. Oh, bo do dee 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 dee. I live in a lovely land, not very far away. A lovely golden bridge across, a lovely silver bay. To me, the view is rotten. I'm the last heterosexual.
Alive?
The spiders spin their webs in the dying ferns above. Who'd guess
this bar was once a hot emporium of love. Like me, it sits forgotten, the last heterosexual
alive.
These go passing by, and I'm still single. Longing for the days when I could mingle. Thrown in my matching towels. The guys just love the fellas. The girls just love the gals. While I sit here forgotten, the last heterosexual
alive.
These go passing by, and I'm still single. For the days when I could mingle. It's not just me. How will the species procreate when the spearhead of our genus can't even get a date? Alone and forgotten, I'm the last heterosexual. Oh, God, don't leave me here to die in my Fiorucci. Alone and forgotten, I'm the last heterosexual.
The words I thought, but it came back to me, sort of. Let's we have a few more songs, not too many. This song is called "When the Wind Blows Up," and I wrote it for the very no, I won't even tell you. This is just a song about love that cannot be. Have any of you ever fallen in love with the wrong person? Some of you were married to them, I know.
No one's gonna say that.
No one's gonna say that, yo. All right. Take a little glass of water. Yeah? I'd like to once more acknowledge one of my friends here, Ben Buettner, on and Keith Carey on. Yeah. It's a great thing. Usually I do my shows by myself and with no audience either. But it's so great to be able to play with such wonderful musicians. Ben has his own band, Big Ben and the Snake Oil. What is it?
Big Ben and Snake Oil Saviors.
The Snake Oil Saviors. And they play here in San Francisco quite a bit.
Nice, yeah.
Western swing band. They're just great. And so I look for Big B and the Snake Oil Saviors.
That's it.
And then Keith plays with
everybody.
Such a, right. He tries to practice safe music, but it's all over the place. Godly knows. Another statistic we'll read about it.
Your mother are down at the shore. I will keep out of their view. They must not know who I'm searching for, that I'm looking out for you. No one can know who it is I search for, still I'm looking out for you.
There, aren't we? Maybe two more songs? Two. Two will do it. Mm-hmm. I've had enough of me. It's just too much of one person. It's too damn much. So we'll do two more songs, and I think they should do a Goodbye Philadelphia maybe. I do Goodbye Philadelphia. And then I'll end with Such Fine Things. That'll be good. I wrote this coming home late at night. Shall I get that? I want to get, can you get that for me, would you mind? Thank you.
Thanks. That's yours, isn't it?
It's yours, yeah.
But that's yours.
That's mine.
That's not my bank. That's your bank.
That's my bank, Redwood Credit Union. Yeah. Credit Union. thank you. I was late, driving home late one night, and I don't know about you, I'm getting elderly. And I'm listening to the radio, and I just cannot believe what's happening to the place. It's just almost, it's just unbearable. I don't think our little nervous systems can handle too much like this. I mean, we weren't supposed to have so much bad news all the time. And then have these people, these hideous people, like, I don't want to mention any names like Rush Limbaugh, but, you know, so every so often I'm kind of left-wing myself, I can't help myself. Every so often I listen to the right-wing radio stations because I want to know what they're saying. Don't listen. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's just, you can't even imagine how they could even come up with this stuff, but they do. And somehow it's all this poor little black boy's fault. From this poor little black boy from, where's he from? From Kenya, they say he's from, I don't know. Poor Obama. Sorry, so it's all his fault. So then, you go over to the left wing, so you don't hear anything on the right wing that makes any sense at all. It's just gobbledygook. I miss Republicans. I never thought I'd dream of the day that I would say, well, my dad was a Republican. You could talk to him. You know, Republicans were decent people. You talk to them, and they would, you know, he would. But I never dreamed that the day would come that I would actually miss Republicans. I do. I wish they'd come back, because I don't know who these neocon people are. They're just unbelievable to me. All right, so then you listen to right-wing radio, and you go, ah! Like this. There's nothing there, nothing for me. I can't, all right. Then you go, they don't tell me anything. So then you go to left-wing radio. They tell you entirely too much. Way too much. Much too much. That every inequity, every war that's going on in little countries that I've never heard of before, you know, every piece of broccoli that's gone bad behind some horrible GMO experiment, that, you know, everything, way too much information, more information than I can stand, I don't want to know. Right wing tells me nothing, left wing tells me way too much. And then somewhere in the when you're listening, then you're listening to the left wing, and all of a sudden they go,
no, if you wish to continue to hear this horrible, horrible news, then write us a big check. We need a big check in order to keep giving you this hideous, hideous news. No. We know you're out there listening for free. you're listening to horrible, horrible news for free. Well, if you want to continue to listen to this news, write us a big check so you can feel guilty with a clear conscience.
Hang on, hold on. A little observation. So this song was written in the peak of whatever, and it's only gotten worse since I wrote it. So here we go. So do feel free to sing along. It's a little end of the world ditty. Do you remember this?
Oh yeah.
All right, hold on. A little water. It may be the end of the world, but you still have time to buy one of my CDs. So just remember
big
that.
Big check.
Big check.
Based on a story I read the other day, it seems space aliens are coming to take us away. I did some research to find out just what our government knew. And according to my sources, this story is true. So say goodbye, Philadelphia. Goodbye, sweet Tehran. Get a pizza and make love to whomever you can. We all know that viruses are greatly on the rise, and simply by breathing one could catch you by surprise. I did some research and I'm sorry to say, the worst ones of them could cream ya in a day. So say goodbye, Philadelphia. Goodbye, Kathmandu. Get a pizza and make love to whoever will let you. Sounds like the end of the world, doesn't it? So say goodbye, Philadelphia. Goodbye, Kathmandu. Get a pizza and make love to whoever will let you. We all know the ozone is being sucked through a hole in the sky. And if this trend continues, we're all going to die. I did some research, and though it doesn't seem fair, hold the anchovies, please, and join me in prayer and say goodbye, Philadelphia. Goodbye, Uzbekistan. Get a pizza and make love to whatever you can. Goodbye, Philadelphia. Goodbye, Uzbekistan. Get a pizza and make love to whatever you can.
well, we'll pretend that we did this thing, and I went like this, and that was an encore. And I went, oh, okay, I'll come back. Oh, okay. Oh, thank you. No, sit down. Come back. Oh, okay. Oh. One more. All right. Well, I'll do one more if you insist. All right. So this is. Thank you very, very much. We really appreciate this wonderful room to be able to play, as I said, without acoustically. It's really a great thing without electronics and everything. So we really love doing it.
Has anybody looked up this place?
Yeah. It was gorgeous. What was this place before?
Conservatory.
It was for flowers. Lovely. I feel like it was a
woman's laboratory.
Yeah, right. It was a hospital or a
rehabilitation.
Really?
It was. Apparently, no one really knows what this place was. We don't really know. It was just here. It was a sanatorium.
Yeah.
It was a sanitarium slash conservatory hothouse type of thing. Back in the days, they had those all over the place. Not another conservatory slash hothouse. Yeah. Well, this is really one of the finest examples of one of those that I've ever been in. All right, so this last song, this is a title song for my new album, my new CD. Everybody has anybody here had a few challenges in their life? A few? You know, as we get older, you know, we still are here. It's amazing that we're still here, you know. Because I don't know about you, but I'm from the sick, you know, I was many people that I knew are dead. And it's really harder for them to dance. So it's a very good thing, you know, to be still alive, right? But if you're going to stay on, keep your peace on the board, as I say, you're going to have challenges that overwhelm you. You know, everyone has a challenge or two that you don't have the strength to meet, that somehow you have to meet it anyway. So I think everybody knows what that is. So I've had a couple of those in my life. I had a very bad illness in 2002 that just took my whole life down. It was like a neurological breakdown, and I didn't know who I was for a couple years. I had a hard time talking, and I completely forgot how to play my instrument. And I went through a long, long haul of coming back. And I didn't ever think I'd be able to play again or write again or be on stage, certainly. There was what seemed like an interminable kind of hell on earth that I was going through for quite some time. If you hold on, you know, for every curse, there's a blessing in it. It's very hard to believe that when you're going through things that seem inconceivably difficult. But I found that in my own life, and many other people have told me the same, that the deepest challenges have brought the greatest gifts. You would have preferred to have read about it. In most cases, but you know, we don't have really seemingly an option. You know, I think being here on the planet is difficult. So anyway, this song, I live deep in the woods now, and this song just came, you know, one afternoon when I was thinking about going through things and just hanging in and then holding on, hopefully, for whatever meaning you can get from it. So cool. It once was clay in an artist's hand.
it once was mud mixed with sand, but the fire turned it blue and singed it gold. Now it can hold such fine things like blood red plums and hot mulled wine, rocks and rings and balls of twine, and the deepest chase of the artist's soul in that bowl. Now it can hold such fine things. I'm an old girl now, and I've had my day. The great loves that were are all gone away, and the dreams I knew that should all come true never did. I'm left instead with such fine things like the morning light through the redwood trees, and my friend's young son who often walks with me across the ridge to the Willow Creek Bridge, holding his little hand are such fine things. I once was clay in an artist's hand. I once was mud mixed with sand, but the fire turned me blue and singed me gold. Now I can hold such fine things, such fine things.